This is a recording of Mrs. Newland made on the 23rd of October 2007.
My name is Vera Newland and I live at Durrance Road, Rowlands Castle, and my age is 91. I was born April the 28th 1916, and have lived in Rowlands most of my life. And I was born over at, was East Durrance then, but it's now Witches Gate Road. And my mother was also born there, and my granny carpenter lived next door to us. I had six brothers and three sisters. They are all brothers have gone now, but I have two sisters remaining. And we used to always play on the common, which was a little field next to our house, which was given to us by Sir George and Lady Fitzwigram for the children to play on. And so we played there, my mother played there, and her brothers and sisters, and we all played there and had, like, any festivals on, we always held them out there, like bonfire night, jubilee night, all the things that were for children were held out on the common, up this end of the village, because otherwise we had to go right over the village to the wreck, which was quite a long way for all of us children to go. My name before I was married was Brown, which was very well known. And oh dear, what was?
That's fine.
I just say that she was born over at Eastmere and moved to.
Yes, this is your grandmother.
Yeah, grandma, granny. Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Her name, what was her name? Spencer, before she was married.
Yes, carry on.
My granny carpenter, she moved from East Meon, where she was born, to Wellsworth Lane, where she was a midwife and brought a good few children into the world. Now, after that, she moved down to Witches Gate Road, to where my mother lived, and she was a great help to mother with all the children, and she had, I think, 8 or 9 children herself, maybe more, but as far as I know, she had 8 or 9, and everybody that was in trouble always came for Granny, because she was so marvellous. When we were children and come out of school, which was St John's Red Hill School, where Mum went and all us children went, and my own daughter went, and my grandchildren has been there, and now, of course, it is a new school up here. So we have all been there, and it was a great thing to run home and go and get a piece of Granny's cake. Except for when it was seedy cake, and we didn't like it a bit, so we didn't have any then. Anyhow, we had quite a lot of relations about, and one of the carpenters, which was Mum's cousin, had a pub on the common called the Royal Oak. And when I was a little girl of 3, I used to go down there. They had 5 daughters, and they used to come and pick me up and take me down to there and put me on the bar, and I'd sing, and then the sailor would give me a penny for singing.
What did and you sing?
It was lovely, I can remember that. And the song was A.B., A.B. my boy, what are you waiting for now? And then when the pub closed, he moved up a bit further up the road and ran a wood business. He had 2 great shire horses, and it you went down a long drive to it, And we were allowed to go in and see the horses as long as we didn't make a noise and frighten them. And every Monday, I had to go up the road and get what you call a bunt of wood for Mum to put up the copper to boil up the water for the washing. And it was tuppence for a big bundle of wood. And sometimes we had to have two because, as you may imagine, there was a lot of washing to do. And she was at the wash tub from early morning till about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because there was no washing machines or anything like that. It was always boiled in the copper, then put into a rinsing bath, and then put into another bath with blue in it, so it all came out beautiful and white. And it took ages to dry because you couldn't get it all on the line. But she used to use the hedge because it was fairly low, and put all the washing on there. And it was really, we were always kept beautifully clean, had plenty of fresh food, because my dad had an allotment, and he also had another allotment just next door but one, which belonged to a little bungalow, and they never used it. So he had it as an allotment and grew all their own vegetables. And then when it was time for the potatoes to be dug up, we used to have to come home from school and go down the allotments and pick all the potatoes up, put the little ones in a pile to boil for the pigs. And then the others were all put in a sack for him to collect and bring home. So we were always well fed and well shod. And of course, Dad worked over at the brick yard, which was the great big industrial thing for Rowland's Castle. He was what you call a burner, which a big kiln, and you went up a big gantry to it, and he fed all the little fires which were burning the bricks. And I also had an uncle there who made the tiles.
Yes.
And when I used to take his dinner over for him, they used to show me all round how they were making them and how they cut the bricks. And then when their kiln had finished baking the bricks, they let it cool off and then open it up, and then they get all the bricks out and stack them all up. And it was really, it was a really great thing to go and see, because it was so interesting. But unfortunately, all that is closed now. But after that, I think Dad worked for a while for Winnicott's on the building, so until he retired. And, what else have I got? When we went to the school, once a year we had a tea fight down at Lady Fitzwibram's. We used to walk down the drive, all had to take our own mugs. Half of them got broken on the way down where they dropped them. And then we did races down there. And if you won a race, you got a penny. You could choose a bag of sweets or a penny. A lot of us chose sweets because we could all have some of those. And then we had a bun when we came home. And a scramble for sweets, which was thrown out onto the lawn. And I think we got as much dirt in with the sweets as we did anything. We had more dirt than that. And we always saved half of our bun to take home to Mum. We had half and saved half to take home to Mum. And then at Christmas time, she'd come up. We had to go so many weeks at school without staying away. And for every clear week you went, she gave you a penny. But sad to say, I didn't get very many pennies because I was usually at home helping Mum with the chores and the children. But and then at, when I also, as I grew up, I was a dinner lady up there for 25 years. I did quite a few years in the old school, and then of course we had to move down to the new school, and I, instead of being a dinner lady, I was a supervisor looking after the children in the in the playground. So of course I did 25 years up there altogether. That was, you know, and all the children were lovely, and I didn't want to leave up there. And I cried when I left, and everybody thought I was mad to cry to leave those children. But I knew a lot of their mothers and fathers, so it was a really, you know, heartbreaking thing for me to do, to leave them. But there you are. The headmaster at the school at the time was a Mr. Young, and he used to wear plus fours, and all the boys poked fun at him, of course. And he also had a motorbike and sidecar, which he always took down to Lady Fitzwigram's, so he could bring whoever fell in the lake, he could bring them home. And nearly every year he had to bring somebody home, because they had an old punt on out on the lake, and all the boys tried to get the punt. And of course, naturally, somebody fell in there. I can remember them being all wet, and he had to bring them home. And it was really great fun. And I stayed up at school until I was 14. I had to leave at 14, and then I went out to domestic service, because my mother thought you learned to do things properly when you went to service. And so at 14, my first job was at Dr. Ricketts at Havant. And we either had to walk or get a bus, if you were lucky, to on your half day off. But I had a friend who had a bicycle, and I used to put my foot on a little tiny thing at the back and put my knee on a carrier, which wasn't very comfortable, but that's how I got back home after my half day. And we had every other Sunday afternoon off. But I was staying there for about nearly 2 years. Then I had to leave because Mum was expecting my younger brother, you know, unexpectedly sort of thing. So I had to leave to come home, help to look over to some of the other boys. So that's how I came to leave down there. But it was quite enjoyable, and I learnt quite a lot while I was there. And they were very kind to me. And then
your next job?
My next job was at in Westbourne, where I met my husband Vic, and we were married on his birthday in 1941, and we had 66 years together, which was lovely. Yeah, so I was working at Westbourne at a house called The Lawn. There was only one lady, and there was lady's maid and a nanny, her old nanny, and my sister was cook, and I was house parlour maid. And we stayed there all the summer, and when it began to get cold and nasty, we had another house in Southsea at Portland Terrace, and it was a beautiful house, but I hated it down there because I don't like the town. But we were down there for altogether, we'd done 7 years down there and 7 years at the Lord. But after the war, on January the 10th, we were absolutely, when the Portsmouth had that fire and everywhere was burnt, and my sister and I had to go to the shelter underneath St. Jude's Church. And when we came out, everything around was burnt, all Palmerston Row, everywhere. We didn't think we'd be able to get it anywhere, but of course we could. The next morning, we packed up whatever we could in the car. We came back to Westbourne, and we never went back down to Southsea anymore. But needless to say, my poor mother and father were going frantic as they could see it from here. And my dad got his bicycle out and tried to get down to us. But of course, when he got to Farlington, he was stopped by the wardens and said, "You can't go any further, sir." He said, "Yes, I can. My two girls are down there." But of course, he had to come back. But next morning, when we got back to the Lawns, the first thing we did was to come up and see Mum and Dad, which was a great relief to them. We all had floods of tears, but it was quite an experience which we don't want to live through too much. I also had my hat ready to get married on the 1st of March, so I had to put that over the wall of Portland Terrace, and also a little bird I had, and I thought he'd die of the cold, but all was well. And my hat was quite good on 1st of March. It looked quite smart with this little veil, and the little bird survived, so that was all very good. Vic and I, as it started, Vic and I were married on the 1st of March on his first leave from the army. It was his birthday as well, so of course it was great fun and speculation with that. And we had 7 days leave, so we spent 2 days over the Mian Valley and 2 days with Vic's mum, 2 days with mum, and it was time for him to go back. But going over to the Mian Valley, of course, we only had little tiny lights on the car, so you couldn't see where you're going. When we got to Horndean, we had a puncher, and we had a car full of people. Everybody come in. Though we were going on our honeymoon, they all joined in, and so we had to stop. We stopped outside of a pub, and they all had to see to the puncher. Well, we went in, and all the men cheered us with their beer. And then as we went on a bit further, there was a lot of loose pig that got out on the road. And so we had another stop for these loose pigs. And then a bit further on, we were stopped and said, put those bloody lights out. And when we got to where we stopped at my cousin's, at Meanstow, and she had a farm right in the middle of a field, and it was no concrete path or anything. You just walked in all the mud across there. And at the bottom of the gate where we were, there was a searchlight. So, of course, with that raid on, the searchlights were going, and the airplanes were bombing over there. But anyhow, we got in there safely. And they didn't have electricity or anything. So we had tiny little oil lamps. And, of course, everything was blacked out. But, and my brother, he had been and collected all the eggs because it was a big farm. And he went to get down when it was bombing. And, of course, he had his eggs. He had these eggs in his pocket. So he had all these eggs in his pocket. And, of course, that caused great laughter again. So we had, despite the war, we had a lovely, lovely time. And when it was time for him to go back, the next day I went back to work at Westbourne to the lawns, and I stayed there until I was expecting my first baby. So Mrs. Bockel asked me if I'd like to stay on. She would have looked after the baby for me if I would have stayed on, but unfortunately I lost her, so I didn't go back there anymore. I came home, and then I went to down Leapley Park House, you know, where Fixed Wigums used to be, because the mines department had it. And I went there as a messenger, and I stayed down there for quite a long time until I was expecting my second baby. And then after about 4 or 5 months, I left there. But that was, again, great fun among everybody. And it was really a lovely job, and I loved it down there. So the house that I'm living in now, down at Durrance Road, we kept moving here in 1943. And I was paying 8 and 6 pence a week, everything included, water rates, everything. And we rented it for a long time. And then the landlady died, and she offered it, gave them to her niece. And her niece didn't want to know about it, so she offered us to buy them. So I was very shy and didn't know what to tell her I'd pay, so I offered her £250, which she said was very good, I could have it. So in 1943 we bought the house, and we have lived here ever since. So we've been here 65 years now, and my daughter was born here, and my niece was born here, and my nephew. They were all born here in my front bedroom, so they always call this their home, because this is where they were born. So I think we can say we lived in Paris Castle quite a long time. Yeah. My daughter Susan, when she left Red Hill School, she went to Warblington School, where her husband said she met and hated, but they met, now they're married. She went to Mr. Kenwood's at Havant. She was at, when she was 16, she left school, went as receptionist, and she stayed there till a long time after she was married. And I'm not quite sure how many years it was, but she'd done quite a few years there. And when she left there, she moved to Dunsbury Way Community Centre and was a receptionist there until she retired a few years ago. Well, when she was 60, I think it was. So she'd been left there 3 years. So she used to do all the paperwork for the schools in that. So she was very well liked, I think, down there. Everybody knew her. And all the old dears used to come to get their feet done, she knew. And they all spoke very well of her, so I'm quite proud of her. And she had, then she had two children, Sally, who is married and have now got one little boy who would be four tomorrow, and Simon, who has two dear little girlies, one's six, one will be three in February. So we are quite a nice little family. Yeah. This is what I remember about the troops. They were all parked up the Horndean Road, all round the memorial, and all down Witches Gate Road there. And we also had a pillbox up the top of the road here. But when my sister used to come and sleep with me every night, in the morning when she went over home to get all her things for work, we made a great big jug of tea, and she used to take it up and give it to the troops that were over in the memorial. And they were so grateful for it, and they always used to bring the jug back in the morning. And one day when I was hanging Sue's nappies on the line, one of them came down and said, "Oh, I've done this before, so I'll give you a hand." So he gave me a hand in hanging the nappies up, which I thought was quite fun, you know. But they were very nice chaps, and their hearts used to go out to them, because the next day they'd probably gone, and when you didn't see them anymore. And I often wondered what happened to them all. But there you are, that's life.
And the king?
Yeah.
And the king?
Oh yes, and when the king came to inspect the troops, we all went up to the Staunton Arms on the corner there, and Sue was a couple of months old then. So as the king came down in his car, I took one of her nappies out, which were lovely white nappy, and waved to him, and he put his hand up and waved back. So that's my memory of seeing the king. When we were all small, the great event for the year was the flower show and the fair, which was held up in the recreation ground. We had Wolves Fair, which was a lovely great big roundabout and swing and boats. And the flower show was really beautiful. The men put heart and soul into their allotments. And my dad was a great one for arranging the trays. So a lot of the men used to bring their trays for Dad to arrange for them, much to my mum's disgust, because she had to have all that indoors. But he used to do it, and they nearly all won prizes for it. And my brother Tom, he was a great one at knocking coconuts down. So we used to have to take the youngest one out the pushchair and put all the prizes he won into the pushchair. and Kerry, whichever one was in there. But one day I remember I went on the swinging boats with Dad, and he used to smoke a pipe. And he thought he'd knocked it out and put it in his pocket. And as we were going up, all of a sudden all the smoke came out of his pocket because he'd left some tobacco in there, and the wind caught it and was burning a hole in his pocket. And we thought that was hilarious. And we never let him live it down.